Blog Talk Radio.
Into Helen R. Ministry of Empowerment. Welcome home. Truly today is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad. I can hear the scripture say, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Yes, you and you, let us exalt the wonderful, wonderful name of Jesus together. Truly, I'm excited on today that you joined in on today with me, and I know that you're going to be in for another glorious and blessing on today. I want you to get your Bible and come right on in and just make yourself right at home. Truly, God is going to bless you and minister to your heart on today for another glorious word from the Lord on today. We're going to be talking about the resurrection power on today. And so I'm going to invite you to go with me to Mark chapter number 16, and we're going to look at verses number 1 through 4 and verses 14 through 18. And so we're going to offer a prayer as we get ready to get started. Father, we come right now in the wonderful and the mighty name of Jesus, thanking you for all that you've done and given unto us. And Father, we thank you because you are that righteous Savior, the Holy One of Israel, and we praise your blessed name. And Father, we come to, Lord, bless your people and speak a word through our lips, and we bind the forces of darkness and the emissaries of the adversary that will come against your word and, Father, in your truth. And Father, we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen and amen. And so we're going to talk today about the wonderful power of the resurrection power. And let's look at Mark's chapter number 16, verses 1 through 4, and it reads on this line. And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And the very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, and it was for a very great, and for it was very great. Now, verses number 14 through verse 18 reads, afterwards, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not that which had seen him after he was risen. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils, and they shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now let's look at verse number 16. It says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Let's look further at our lesson on today. Now it says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10, verse number 19. Now, everything about Jesus is powerful. There is a power in his name, and the experience of receiving the Holy Spirit is the most powerful experience known to mankind. Everything about Jesus is Christ is powerful because he is God manifested in the flesh. Moreover, he was God in the flesh. Even death had no power over him. The grave could not hold him. The resurrection of Jesus Christ was the ultimate display of the power manifested in him. It is this on this basis of all things wonderful and powerful is in the church. Now, because of the power of the resurrection, the salvation experience is effective. When a person repents of their sins and is baptized in that wonderful name of Jesus for the remission of their sin and receive the empowering presence of the Holy Ghost, they taste the full power of the provision of the cross, the effect of the shed blood of Jesus Christ for the atonement of sin comes to life within the heart of the believer through the power of the resurrection. The resurrection is about power. The resurrection of Jesus Christ empowers the church. Tradition of men are weak and powerless to affect salvation. But there is real, genuine power in salvation in the church through the resurrected Christ. The resurrection of Jesus is both the power of our salvation and source of our empowerment in our life as children of God. Now let's look at 2 Peter chapter number 1, verses 2 through verse number 4. Grace and power be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according to as his divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You'll find that in 2 Peter verses number 1 through chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. Now, God has promised to provide for the needs of his people through his divine power. He has given to the church all that we need concerning life and godliness, the power to escape the corruption of this present and evil world. The Lord has provided all these things through the power of his resurrection. Now, let's look. Ephesians 3, verses 20 through 21. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus, through all ages, throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Now, God's power in and through his church, and he works his power in and through his church. He has promised to exercise all his power to act exceedingly, abundantly above anything that we ask or think. Now, here is what it's saying is that above all that you can eat, ask, or think, God will work his power. He said he is able to give us exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or even think, according to the power that worketh within you. Now, let's stop right there because it's key and it's critical to know that there is a power through the Holy Ghost that lies within you. The more you allow it to work in you, the more you're going to see the manifestation of God moving and flowing in and through your life. But you have to pull on that Holy Ghost power. You got to release that Holy Ghost power in your life. You got to allow that Holy Ghost power to exude in and through your life. You got to allow it to burst forth, to be prevalent in your life, and you will begin to see the abundancy and above all that you asked or even think. So if you ask in God on this level, on the plane level or this level here, whatever level you may be asking God, he said if you do it through the Holy Ghost and allow that power of the Holy Ghost, which you receive through receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord give utterance, you are going to see me exceed that or what you asked in for. But what you have to do is let those tongues flow and pray to me, call on me, pull on that power, and you're going to see me move and work in a mighty and a special way. Now, the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost is alive and working in every believer. You better believe that power is alive in our lives. All you have to do is begin to activate it. Stay in prayer. Stay in the Word of God. Stay in the house of God And the more you are in the house, more you in prayer, more you in the presence of God, the more you're going to see the power of God working in and through your life. He promised, he said, I've given you everything, absolutely everything that pertains to godliness, to life and godliness. But what it is, that's key. We must do it the way God wants us to do in order for us to see it happen and work, because it's already a prescribed plan, already a divine plan. There's already a divine roadmap and direction in which you can live in that particular area of your life. Now, let's look further. What power, what provision, and what authority we have through the resurrection? Now, we should never underestimate the power of Jesus Christ that is at work in his church. If we forget the awesome power of God displayed on the grand day, we will fall into legalism, ritualism, and impotence, like so many other religious institutions of this fallen world. We need to emphasize and to live out the power of the resurrection. Even in this new millennium, we must live out that power. We must hold on to the resurrection power of the cross of Calvary and the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, let's look further. The power of love. Now, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him. And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came unto the sepulchre at the rising of the sun, and they said among themselves, who shall roll us away the stone? Who shall roll away the stone for us from the door of the sepulchre? And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. That was in Mark chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. Mary Magdalene, the mother of James and Salome, was probably among the last ones to leave the cross. Yet they were the ones to arrive at the tomb of Jesus. They went because of love. They were serving beyond duty. They had arisen very early in order to anoint the Lord's body that had been hastily entombed before the beginning of the Sabbath. This was their first chance to anoint the body. Since doing so on the Sabbath day would have violated the law, yet they wanted to show their love and gratitude for all Jesus had done for them. Obviously, they did not expect Jesus to be alive. In order to give him an honorable burial, they had gone with spices to anoint his dead body. They did not expect the tomb to be open because they expressed doubt about who would remove the stone for them. It is sad but true of human nature that we often fear obstacles that either do not exist or that the Lord has already removed. Fear is a paralyzing emotion that can rob us of our spiritual productivity. The enemy of our soul put thoughts of doubt and fear in our minds to destroy our faith. We need to recognize his tactics and reject unbelief. And that's so key, children of God, because the adversary will lie or he will cause fear to come upon you and to paralyze your faith. But once you begin to put your trust in God and allow your faith to move forward and to flow in your life, you're going to see greater power of God moving in and through your life in a profound way. You're going to see him and things in a profound way, doing some great and mighty things. But it's your faith that moves mountain. It's your faith that in God, in the power of God, that is going to move the people of God in a mighty and a special way, and it shall be done. Now, let's look further and think so that we can understand even more. The women were both shocked and dismayed over what they encountered at the tomb. When they arrived, over which they had worried was already resolved. So they was worrying about who was going to roll away the tomb or the stone But when they got there, God had already taken care of it and made it available for that they would have access unto the Lord our God. And such as it is that God knows what you need, once you put your trust and confidence in him, watch him move away the stones. Watch him open up the doors and make ways for you as never before. Now, let us look further. Now, Anthony, yet the stone had been rolled away from the entrance to the tomb, yet not understanding that he was resurrected. However, they feared that his body had been stolen. Now, though discouraged and disheartened and afraid, lonely and confused, the women still clung to their love that they had for Jesus. Like Mary Magdalene, the mother of Jesus, James and Salome, we too can rely on Jesus to remove obstacles that we fear most, whatever they may be. If we will faithfully perform our duties in serving Jesus Christ, he will remove the barriers that hinders us and pave our way with his blessing. Now, the power of the resurrection is both the love that Jesus Christ places in our hearts and the empowerment he gives us to go forth and perform his will upon the earth. We need the love of God and the power of that love today more than ever before. And just to see that passion and that love for God, it is one of the most powerful things to see people have passion for God and the things of God. Now, many times people have passion and things for great swelling words, that word that's going to excite them. But, you know, it's still yet the basic gospel that is saving people, that's strengthening people, fortifying people, and that resurrection power is transforming the lives of God's people. He said, put me into remembrance of my word. And once you know the word, what the word is saying, and start putting God in remembrance of his word, he will perform it. And so many times we try to do it out of our own volition, out of our own mindset. But God is saying, no, I have a prescribed plan and a way that a fool need not even err. And all you have to do is go back to him and begin to start all over again and say, okay, God, I did it my way, but now, God, I found that my way is not working, but now I'm going to put my trust and confidence in your word. So I'm going to get in the word. I'm going to start seeking what I must do and watch God do it in a profound way. Now, Luke 24, verses 5 and 6 said, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spoke unto you when he was in Galilee. Now, here we find the women, they went to the tomb looking for a body, but found instead a message of excitement, faith, and hope. The angel informed the women that the one that they sought was not there, but he was risen. What the women thought was a sign of trouble, the open tomb was actually the beginning of the greatest message of hope the world has ever known. The angel asked, why seek ye the living among the dead? Luke 24 and 5. The women were looking in the wrong places. Our Lord was not destined to a tomb, but to a throne. We would not find him among the dead, but among the living. Unlike all other religious leaders of renown, the tomb of Jesus Christ is empty. We need to proclaim the living Christ to our world. We need to turn them from their dead idols to serve the living and the resurrected Lord of heaven and earth. People are still looking and hoping for a church full of life. So we who have received the power of the resurrection by the Holy Ghost must provide them with one. The Apostolic Church is a living and vibrant church. It is a church where those who are lost in sin can experience a new life in Christ Jesus. Resurrection makes all the difference. We do not serve a dead Christ. He is risen and alive forevermore. Therefore, we can have faith, confidence, and boldness. We can have it all. Now, let's look at the power of the resurrection and the power to witness. 1 Corinthians 15:3-8 said, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scripture, that he was seen of Cephas, and then of the 12. After that he was seen above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, then all of the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as a one born out of due time. Now, let's look. The Lord wants the world to know that he is risen. And he saw to it that there were innumerable witnesses to this greatest event of all the earth history. Yet, in spite of the personal testimony, still some have a difficult time grasping the realities of the resurrection. Now, the Apostle Paul mentioned several who would witness the resurrected Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8. He mentioned Peter, Cephas, the 12th apostle, a group of 500, James and himself. In addition to the one that Paul mentioned from Mark's account, we could add Mary Magdalene, and then Mary, the mother of James, and Salome, and the two ones on the road to Emmaus. Still, it was difficult for some to believe, Mark 16, 11 to 13. Now, let's look at that scripture. It said, and they, when they had heard that he was alive, had been seen of her, believed not. After that, he appeared to another form unto two of them, and as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it unto the residue, neither believed they them. Mark 16, verses 11 to 13. Now, let's take a look further at the word and see what is going on here. Now, the angel sent the women to the disciple with the word of the resurrection. God wanted to assure the leaders of his church of his resurrection. And that's where many religions fight at and things, because of the resurrection. And they talk about that he have not risen. He's still yet dead. He didn't get up off the cross. But here we have historical accounts and witnesses of Jesus Christ being resurrected from the dead on the way to Emmaus, the road on to Emmaus. We have the account that he came and was seen of 500 people, James himself, and then also Peter. These are people, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James. All of these people, they've actually seen and witnessed our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, being resurrected. And so it is evident and the power of their witness that it was so, and it did happen. And so the Lord knew for the rest of the church age, Christians around the world will come to cling to the hope offered by the resurrected message. It is still the hope of the church today. Now, notwithstanding his interest for the future of his church, Jesus remembered the individuals of that church. Specifically, the Lord inspired the angels to send the women with a personal message to Peter. The personal reference to Peter was not only for a special mention of the one to whom Jesus had entrusted the leadership of his church. It was also a personal attempt to touch and restore ones who had miserably failed only a few days earlier. Jesus wanted Peter to know that he still loved him and believed in him. Now, isn't that powerful? And I hear the Spirit of the Lord saying to tell you that Jesus believes in you, even as you believe in him. Yes, no matter where you find yourself at, no matter what has happened in your life, Jesus believes in you. He has not given up on you. And so here what we must do is turn back, repent, turn back, turn around, go back to him and watch him bless you and raise you up. And turn from those old ways and watch God empower you, the church, you. You are the church. He's going to empower you. Now, the aspect of the resurrected narrative speaks of all of God's people who have failed in their personal relationship with Christ. there is hope for victory and salvation because of the resurrection. The resurrection is our bridge to glory, not our personal righteousness, our heritage, or holiness. It is his resurrection power that will give us the victory. These are important but not able to affect salvation. Yes, our personal doing right, our heritage, and our holiness too, living holy and upright before God, is going to affect our walk. But the ultimate power to transform a life lives and resides in the hand of God through his Son, Jesus Christ himself, our righteousness. Now, let's look further, that there is salvation only through the anointed work of Jesus Christ on the cross. His anointing work gives us true hope through his resurrection. He is not dead, but ever lives to intercede on our behalf. It is interesting that the scripture revealed the genuine humanness of his character. We are able to discern that the great believer of the scripture pages were just as human as we are. When we face difficulties of life and find our heads spinning with confusion and hurt and problem, we have hope that the Lord who met Mary at the tomb will surely meet us and succor us in the heat of our trial. He cares and he provides and he answers us in his time. Now, Jesus' personal appearance to Mary is a testimony of the love and compassion that God has to those who are hurting. You'll find that over in John chapter number 20, verses 11 to verse 18. She was standing at the tomb and she was weeping, dismayed and hurt and confused. And sometimes we find ourselves in situations where we're standing and facing our problems and facing our circumstances, hurt and dismayed and confused. But I come to tell you that that's where God will meet you. That's where our Lord and Savior Jesus will succor you, will come and help you, come and deliver you, come and bring salvation to you, and that is deliverance. He will help us, and he will undergird us, and he will fortify us as the people of God. All we have to do is call on him. And that's the failure. The failure is what the adversary put in our mind to think that God would not help us, that God would not come to us. But he that will come shall come, and he will not tarry. And so here, when we look at Mary, she thought she was speaking to the gardener when she asked, where have they taken her Lord? But when Jesus spoke her name, she realized who she was speaking, who was speaking to her, and that he had indeed risen from the dead. His words were comforting and full of hope. John 20, verses 17 through 18 said, and Jesus said unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciple that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now, that's another evidence of the power of witnesses, and Mary Magdalene was able to see and witness the Lord Jesus Christ herself. Now, one would think that the hand-picked followers of Jesus will be quick to believe the resurrection and to grasp any hope that was that what he would be true. After all, they had seen his miracle and had experienced his power firsthand, but they had yet to receive the Holy Ghost. And their belief was weak and powerless because they had not received the Holy Ghost at that time. Soon they experienced the power of the resurrection for themselves when they received the Holy Ghost on the day of Pentecost. The experience would give them the abundant life that they have never known and will give substance to their belief. Now, when one meets the resurrected Christ and receives the Holy Ghost, everything changed. The Holy Ghost is the indwelling power of Jesus and the indwelling power of the resurrection that every believer receives. And if you don't have it, I encourage you, to get it and to seek the Lord for it. It's the living God dwelling within you as the evidence of one speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord give them utterance. Now, the resurrected Lord appeared on to two disciples as they walked the long distance home. Though they knew not his identity, Jesus asked them questions about the weekend occurrence and then spoke to them from the Old Testament according concerning the prophecy that was spoken of the Messiah's death, burial, and resurrection. When Jesus joined them for an evening meal, he prayed and then vanished. They were astonished and immediately left to go back to the disciples in Jerusalem. Their testimony was that Christ indeed was risen, and that their heart had burned within them when he spoke to them from the word. Now, our hearts will burn within us when we read and apply the written and preach word of God with the power of the Holy Ghost. The word will come alive in us because of the resurrection. Without the Holy Ghost, the Bible can appear to be just another aged book. But by the Spirit, it becomes the ageless book of eternal life. That's what we see in the scripture where it states, the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And when you receive the Holy Ghost, that's when that life will spring forth in your spirit, and the revelation of the knowledge of the word of God will come alive in your bosom and in your heart, because now you are reading it through the living God, through the living power of the Holy Ghost, the resurrection power, through your spiritual eyes has been opened to receive and to understand that which you read. Now, let's look at the powerful commission. When we serve the living God, Christ Jesus, his resurrection power removes our fears and brings more power into our life. The resurrection was not just a display of power from our Lord, though it certainly did that. It was to become the cornerstone of the entire Christian faith or the child of God's faith. Moreover, it was the first fruit of God's intention to fill all believers with his resurrection power, which he begun when he filled the 120 disciples with the Holy Ghost in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. Further, there was a supreme purpose that gave significance to the outpouring of the Holy Ghost that transcend even the salvation experience of those who received it. With the Holy Ghost, God both saves us and empowers us to be witnesses and evangelists of the lost and to fulfill his great commission. Now, the end of Mark's gospel, it contains the declaration of the power that Jesus wanted for his church and to understand and to implement. He wanted us to know it, to understand it, as well as to implement it. We have received the power of salvation, power over death, hell, and the grave, power to witness, power to preach, power to baptize, power to heal, power to cast out devils. All this is available through the resurrection power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of the first characteristics of the Holy Ghost is the resurrection power to become witnesses over in Acts chapter 1, verses number 8. Now, without the resurrection, there would be nothing of which we would and could testify. It is the resurrection power of Jesus that is there for the church. The powerful preaching of the early church was about the resurrection, Acts chapter 17, verse number 18. And that's why, as preachers, we have to be careful to fulfill the commission and not fulfill just preaching about circumstances and situations, but preach about the resurrection power, that dunamis power that's able to transform life and to reconcile God's people back unto him. That is key, that we continue to preach and teach that. Yes, people want to hear things that is going to tickle their ears and satisfy their flesh, But God is saying, no, keep preaching and teaching about the resurrection power, that men and women may turn their lives back into the hand of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and those that are saved may have hope in a hopeless world, that that same dunamis power, resurrection power, is alive and well among God's people in his church. Many people are turning their hearts away from the church, but guess what? God has prescribed and ordained and commissioned the church as a place where he was going to endue them with power from on high. Oh, that life-giving power, that dunamis power, is still yet alive and well if we would allow it to work and if we allow it to flow in and through our lives. That's the only way it's going to be manifested and exuding in and implemented in our lives if we allow it to flow through our lives. It's our own volition. If we choose not to allow that power to enable us to overcome the things of life, if we do not let that resurrection power to exude in every aspect of our life, we got to apply it to every aspect, or we will not be able to see the fullness of the what God is intended for the church to execute and implement in these latter days. Let that power, the Holy Ghost, be released in your life. Amen. And let's look further. It said the powerful preaching of that church is what God used to bring hope to the people. Moreover, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the powerful message that people need to hear even today from the church. All the power within the church comes from Jesus Christ. For instance, power to heal the sick comes from the resurrected Christ. He who has authority over death also has the key to our healing. With his stripes, we are healed. By his resurrection, he has demonstrated his power to save, his power to help, his power to heal all who will look to him in faith. Now, as I shared on another broadcast, I was at church. It was New Year's Eve night, and as I was preaching and teaching and things, my right leg began to start having excruciating pain, a very severe pain, all the way down from my hip down to up under the sole of my foot. And I was asking God, my God, what is that? That pain, it just hit me. And come to find out, it was several people in the church at the service that night who was sitting in excruciating pain. And before I left the benediction, the Spirit of the Lord told me, he said, I want you to pray, because this here pain that came upon you, you bearing the burden of someone within the house of God today. And as I obeyed the power of God, the Spirit of the Lord, and began to pray for the people and call an altar call and pray for those that was in excruciating pain, they came to the altar, we prayed for them, and God brought forth a relief and healed their bodies and things. And then after I prayed for them, the pain left my body because I obeyed what the Spirit of the Lord has said, and the healing power of God was in the church. And that's why it's key to stay in the church, stay in the house of the Lord. Even if you don't feel like it, press your way. Your flesh don't want to come, press your way. Things is holding you up, press up and over it, and God will meet you in the midst and do what needs to be done. He's still yet creating, and he is still yet performing miracles in the house because you pressed your way into the house of the Lord. It is for the church. Before the Lord ascended, he first descended into hell, and he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave. And the Lord holds all authority and have given us dominion over demons and over devils. He commissioned the church to cast out devils in his great name. Through the resurrection, we have power over Satan. Without the resurrection power of the Holy Ghost, we will remain subservient to Satan's power. Now, Jesus holds the keys to eternal life. Through the resurrection of Christ, we will take part of this first resurrection, and the second death will not be able to touch us. You read that over in Revelation chapter number 20 and verse number 6. It's up to us, child of God, to use that resurrection power. It's up to us to allow God to flow through us. Again, he said he'll do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. We got to work that power, that resurrection power. If you see someone that is sick, believe God for their healing. Lay hands on them. Trust God that God will do it. And think, stay in the house of God, that God can keep filling your soul back up. And praying in the Holy Ghost. Let that Holy Ghost power flow in and through your life. Because it's there, that power in the resurrection, the power of salvation, the power to witness, the power to preach, the power to heal, the power over devils, and the power over death, hell, and the grave. The power has received much, the church has received much power as a result of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The power of love is ours through the resurrection. Moreover, we have a message of hope and encouragement that through Christ Jesus' resurrection, God has removed our fears and imparted unto us his holy power to us to do his will and his work on earth. Finally, we have received the power of the Holy Ghost because of Christ's resurrection. Now, let's look at Mark chapter 16, verses 19 through 20. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, and he sat on the right hand of God, and there they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs and following. Amen. That's found over in Mark chapter 16, verses 19 through 20. Now, we must recognize that Jesus has ascended into heaven, where he reigns as Lord of heaven and earth. And he has not left us comfortless. He has given us his Holy Spirit. And we are to go forth and preach and share our testimonies with others and lead others to him. But we are not doing his work alone. He follows and work with us and through the power of the Holy Ghost. And all these promises are ours because of the resurrection. And so, children of God, you must recognize that there is power, wonder-working power in the blood and in the power of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, his resurrection, and we hold fast to that powerful. And so here it says again in Luke 10, verses 19, behold, and I want you to get this, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents, scorpions, and over all the power of the enemies, and nothing, absolutely nothing, shall by any means hurt you. Luke 10 and verse 19. And so, child of God, God has promised to provide for the needs of his people through his divine power. And he has given to the church all that we need concerning life and godliness, the power to escape the corruption of this present evil world. The Lord has provided all things through the power of his resurrection. Ephesians 3, verses 20 through 21 said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. And so God's power is in and through his church. And so I come to tell you, children of God, stay in the house of the Lord. That's where he put his power at and things. He promised that he would do it. And so in my conclusion, I want to pray. Father, we come hastening unto the throne of God and saying, bless your people and keep them by your power divine. Give them revelation knowledge of your resurrection power, and we'll give you the glory and honor. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Embrace that power, that wonder what working power. If you don't have the Holy Ghost, seek out God to get it. Speaking in tongues as the Spirit of the Lord give utterance. And so as I close today, on today, I pray that you was blessed as never before as you revealed unto you a greater understanding of the resurrection power of God that is exuding in and through our lives. And so as I close today, as I always would say, if you don't have it, God got it. And you're just one question away from your miracle. All you need to do is ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and you shall find. Now, and it shall be given, the door shall be open unto you. Until we meet again, God bless you. Bye-bye.